So we start our series, and our theme is, I go for what God has given me. Every time that we come to the house of God, from the moment that you say, I am going for what God has given me, God begins to work. When you say, I am going for what God has given me, God begins to work. He's already working. He's prepared something that so that you might, when you come, you wouldn't go like you came, but you'll go differently, transformed. You would go thinking about this word. He starts to work when you. Tuesday, I was sharing something when I'm saying, don't be worried by circumstances. Don't be worried by situations, but begin to give thanks even though you don't see the miracle. Even you're not living the desire. Even the miracle hasn't come. Begin to thank and praise because it will come. Last week, we spoke about focusing on the most important things. Things that even look terrible are going to finish up being glorious. We are in this, but the dream is what pursues us. We're not pursuing the dream. The dream pursues us. Now you say, I'm going for what God has given me. Moses had a dream. Oh, Joseph had a dream that God had placed in him. So he was on the way to that dream, but he was not distracted by what was happening around him. All the time, he had fruit in every situation. It's similar to us, right? We saw how Potiphar realized that everything that Joseph did prospered. He found out that the Lord was with him. He found out that wherever Joseph placed his hands, something would happen. He realized that everything that Joseph did multiplied, even in his own home. He realized that the favor of God was with Joseph. And every time he was involved in giving fruit, not important what was happening around him, what was more important was to give testimony of God. I want to tell you something today. Nothing of what is eternal comes easy. Nothing of what is eternal comes easy. Nothing of what is eternal comes easy. Those things that are going to last forever, you're going to have to fight for with a sword and defending yourself. You think God's going to let us administer something that's eternal? This is a very good lesson. God can't share something with us that's eternal, so we would administer it if God knows that we're going to ruin it. Everything that's eternal, you're going to have to fight for it. Everything that has to do with eternity, you're going to have to struggle to get it. Everything that has to do with eternity, you're going to have to fight for. But there's another problem. Tell me, ask me, what's the problem? That the enemy, as you're going for what God has already given you, and you're on the way to give you what God has already given you, the enemy is going to want to interrupt this. so you would not get there to take what God has already given you. Look, the dream of Joseph was that God gave them. The dream was that he was going to govern. The dream was that he was going to be promoted to a government place. I'm speaking to somebody. He was going to be positioned and promotion to a place in government. Everything that's eternal, everything that's spiritual, always is going to be challenged by darkness. It's always going to be challenged by the enemy. The enemy is going to try to do things and use material things to take away your focus, riches, or people. The enemy is going to use even family members to stop your advance. You're going to be tempted because the enemy, you know, the enemy knows to where you're going. He knows what God has prepared for you. The enemy knows what God has already given you, and he doesn't want to allow you to possess that, to take that God has already given you. He wants to rob it from you. He wants to stop it from happening. He's going to use whatever he can to distract you, to slow you down so you don't go for what God has given you. Chapter 39 of Genesis, we're going to read, and seated the way we are. Verse 5 says, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was with him. All that he had was in the house and the field. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife placed his eyes on Joseph, and he said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has into my hands. Verse 9, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Look at what Joseph is looking at. He's not looking at the attraction, the temptation, or the physical, but he's looking at about how he's going to sin against God. So he's focusing on anything that he can do is going to be a sin before God. And what he doesn't want to do is to offend God. What a mentality, Joseph's. Verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, and he did not listen to her, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. 12. It says that she caught him by his garment, saying, she grabbed him of his shirt, lie with me, she said. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. She took part of his clothing with her. That means she was seducing him. But he went out running. He said, I'm going for what God has already given me. I'm on my way for what God has already given me. There was an interruption. There was a distraction. But I want to tell you this morning, we're going to have interruptions. You're going to have distractions. Joseph first was taken to a difficult and straight place, that pit. Then he was carried to the house of Potiphar. And now, in the house of Potiphar, everything's going good. He has the favor of his boss. He's being prospered. But even in this, he has not stopped giving fruit. But here, another interruption, another testing. And something comes, an interruption that takes him unjustly to prison, to jail. This brings us to our first point this morning. There are things that are not part of the will of God. If you allow me to add to this, there are also people that are not part of the will of God. Everything was apparently going good for Joseph. He was being blessed. He is blessing the house of his bosses and places where he's at. But all of a sudden, he finds himself in a new situation. How many has happened like that? You want to lift up your hands. Everything is going good in your life. Success has come. You have the best job and a blessing there. And you're being promoted in the work. You're blessed with a place, a house, or something material. And you believe that everything is going good. I'm in a good season. Many times you say, I'm living the best season of my life. The problem is that many times we take the focus off and think that success and material things and blessings that have come, it was what we had to reach. Listen to what I'm trying to say. For a moment, we forget to give fruit, give forth fruit. We forget and we quit giving fruit. Everything was good. You're thinking, this is the best season of my life, and all of a sudden things begin to change. When all of a sudden something begins to happen, when all of a sudden something goes the wrong way, how good everything was. From this job I was going to retire. They told me this was the job that once I retire, everything was going to go good. Even pastors I've seen that this has happened. They're almost to retire and something happens. And they never gave them their pension or what they had to give them. We think we're living the best season, and all of a sudden that season is interrupted by something. And we find ourselves confused. We find ourselves confused. How is possible? Everything was walking good. Our marriage was good. And now look at it. Because there's not a perfect marriage. Sometimes you think everything is going good, but all of a sudden the interruption has come to your life. And you say, at the moment when I'm most serving God, I'm most doing things right, something comes and knocks me down. Has somebody been there? Has somebody been there? And you say, now now I'm going to get the papers for residence. And you put your confidence, and all of a sudden something comes and interrupts what you thought was success. That's the way Joseph was in his best season. Things had calmed down. He was in the home of Potiphar, and everything looked blessed because God was with him. But all of a sudden, he was closer to that dream that he had to possess what God had given him. But now, the wife of his boss begins to interrupt. You need to know that there are things that would stop the will of God in your process. Here was another one with Joseph. A situation, a deception, but he had to keep himself focused in what he had believed. He had to maintain himself into what God had spoken to him in the dream. Everything was walking good when the interruption comes. And he said, "You're not part of what God spoke to me, not what God gave me. You're not part of this, of what God promised me. You're just an obstacle." And to say, "This dream is pushing me forward. This is not part of what God gave me. You're just a problem. You're an interruption to what God has given me." Because what God gave me is eternal. What God gave me is spiritual. What God has given me has to do with eternity. What God has given me. Give glory to the one that lives. We're going to have to maintain ourselves strong in the circumstance, because your battle is not of every day. Your battle is every day. Look at verse 10. "So it was as she spake to Joseph day by day." Wow. This woman seduced him every day. The temptation would come every day. Your battle is every day. Your fight is every day. Everything that you have to get, you have to battle for it every day. And sometimes we get tired and we think God does not hear us. Joseph was thinking about eternal things. Joseph was thinking about what God had deposited in him, given him. But every day he was tempted. Verse 10 says, "And speaking, she spoke to Joseph every day, day by day." Every day the temptation came. But he did not heed her. In your walking, what God has already given you, every day, the enemy is going to try to interrupt. But don't give up what God has already given you. You're going to be seduced by things. Listen, you're going to be seduced by things. Things that just have to do with this life. Things that have to do with this life. And his work, the enemy's, is to keep you back. You can say, "My work is to conquer." One of the two has to get tired. I hope we're not going to be the ones that get tired. And we need to fight our battle like we saying this morning, "This is the way I battle my battles." Then the situation, when the sickness comes, I battle my battles. And you say, I don't have any other way of doing it but my worship. I have no way of carrying this on but the worship. That's all you need. You don't have anything else but your song. That you don't have anything else but your praise. And that's in the worst work will of God. That's the way that you fight. I would like to imagine Joseph, instead of facing, looking at everything that was happening to him, he was just singing. This woman took away his shirt, his coat, but he ran. It doesn't matter. Even in my battles, I'm going to be victorious. I don't know how you fight, but I hope that you would fight the way David fought his battles. Because point number two, sometimes the price is very high. Sometimes the price is very high. Verse 12 to 20, chapter 39 of Genesis. Do you have it? Many times we have to pay a price that's very high for doing things right. Sometimes you would have to pay a high price for doing things right. Just because you did it right, you made the right decision. Sometimes you're going to be confused. You're not going to understand. But I want to tell you, every one of those things is connected to the will of God. Verse 12 says that she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He was leaving the garment with her and ran out. Verse 14, and she called the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with my loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I had lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." Verse 20 says, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. How it is that one situation changes from the night to the morning. And from what God had already given him, he's still fighting for what God had already given him. He had been in the pit. He had been in the house of Potiphar, and now he's on his way to prison, to where he was going to be for about 2 years. But Joseph didn't have the least desire or will to disobey God, dishonor the place that gave him to eat. This is powerful. He did not want to dishonor the house where he would eat. Somebody process that. I don't know if you're understanding it. He didn't have the least thought of dishonoring the house where he ate. He didn't have the least idea of dishonoring the house. There was a house that was blessing him. He didn't have an intention of sinning against God. He said no to the sin. He was prisoner because he said no to sin. How many of us can go through this when our faith is sufficient? When they say, if you're not going to do this, you're going to jail. If you don't do what I tell you, you're going to jail. You're going to prison. But he had not the least intention. He was prisoner because he said no to sin. Sometimes the injustice of man is an opportunity for us to see the miracles of power of God. The dream of Joseph took him to the prison. Sometimes your dream will take you to unexpected places, and there will be situations. When I see these young men behind a dream, they have an effort because they don't have the resources, is a testimony of young men that living in their cars to be able to finish their career, because they have a dream to be somebody in life, and university and college. Many of them even get sick, even here in the United States, because the education for a profession is so expensive, very expensive. And many, even here in the United States, have not had the means, but they stay in the university and the college. And they suffer like you would not imagine. Glory to God for those that have the resources. Many, even including our children here, that go to university, they have to invest here and invest there. They have to take a job or two to be able to make it. And the glory to God when these young people can still be fruitful in the church. They go to university, but they know that there is a God that's above all. You need to know that if you come to those places that you were not waiting for, even though those places you don't understand, even there, God's going to bless you. Even in those places, God's going to bless you, because he was in the house of Potiphar. But he didn't want to dishonor the house. So it was his intention. All the time he was there, the boss found out that God was with him. Even in places that you don't believe or know, even there, the favor of God's going to be with you. Because God is not going to leave you. It's not going to defraud you. Well, look what happened to Joseph. He ended up in jail because of doing what was right and being favorable to the house of Potiphar. For not wanting to sin against God, he ended in jail. But it says the Lord was with Joseph and had mercy to him and gave him grace before the jail keepers. In the jail, he became the chief of all the prisoners. I don't know about you, but when your heart is in the right place and you know to where you are going, you can tell circumstance, put me wherever you want. I don't know if you understood that. When your heart is in the right place and you're in the will of God, you can tell the circumstances. You can say to the problem, put me wherever you want, because even there I'm going to be fruitful. Even there I'm going to fructify. It didn't matter to him where he was, because even in the jail he prospered. We would start crying first. We would have published it all over the social media. How terrible they sent me to this jailhouse. And that was the lady of the house. And now I'm here because of this and what I did or did not do. When your heart is in the right place and you know to where you're going, you're going to say, God was the one that brought me here. God brought me here. It was God that let me come here because I'm at the point to be promoted to what God has already given me. Point number three, we're almost going to finish today. I made it short because I thought you were going to be painful. God gives you the strength. I see the young people, the pastor. How does he do it, man? Point number three. Could it be God who gives? It will be God who gives the answer. It will be God gives the answer. When you're in the will of what God has given you, you're not going to lose time on excuses. Don't lose time on excuses. There are some people that lose time on excuses, but the excuses just put you farther behind of the plan that God has for your life. There are many excuses to not fructify, to not be fruitful, to not do something. If man was unjust with you, God will lift up your head with his justice. If the man is unjust with you, God will bring you up out of that situation and lift up your head and do justice and to work with justice. He did it with Joseph. I'm about to finish. He did it with Joseph. Sister, he did it with Joseph. We're going to go to chapter 41 of Genesis, verse 15. Those of you that have Bibles, looks like we don't even want to bring a Bible to church, right? Show it as part from God. You got to know who you are. We would know, have an identity when we carry this book with us. So we go to chapter 41, 15, verse 15. The story goes on. So Joseph is right here in jail. But while he's in jail, things are happening. And it happened that he started to interpret dreams. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh had a dream. Listen, I didn't have this because there are people to which God is going to take away their sleep so that your dream would be completed. Now, Pastor, Pharaoh, he was losing sleep because nobody could interpret his dreams, and all of it. Somebody says there's a young man here in the prison who is unjustly in this place. And here's Pharaoh, who was owner of all an empire. Egypt was an empire. And he is here, but he can't sleep. And he starts to look some somebody to interpret his dreams. And there's a parenthesis there. Even in the prison, I think it was the one that would serve the wine to the king. He had given him an answer, a dream. So you can be promoted. And I'm going to give a word for you so that they would promote you. When God could promote you, you don't need a people. You don't need it's God who promotes you. It's God who lifts up your head and helps you. You don't need of anybody when you're walking in the will of God. Others are going to need you because you're in the will of God. Verse 15 says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said that you can understand a dream and interpret it." He can't even sleep because of the dream. He needs an interpreter. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me." It's not in me. But before I finish this verse reading, look, Pharaoh calls him. And what I looked, I could have said this is a great opportunity for Joseph. Number one, he could have made a deal with Pharaoh. He could have said, "Look, I'll interpret your dream, but I'm going to tell you what they put me in the jail unjustly." And his despair, maybe Pharaoh would have said yes. He would have gone to Pharaoh and said, "Look, all this happened to me in the jail. This is what happened. And that's why I'm here." You can ask Potiphar, but he never did get into all those arguments. Because this would have been an excuse. He never placed an excuse. You know, why didn't he make an excuse? Ask me, Pastor, why? Because he knew that God had already given it to him. He already knew that God had given him the dream. This was only a process. This was only the way towards what God had given him. So he never lost time on excuses or talking to Pharaoh or giving strange arguments, not saying, "Oh, this is what happened to me. Come on, help me." No. But look at his answer. Joseph answered, "It's not in me." Like saying, "I'm not the one that can interpret your dream." God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace, something that was going to bring peace. He's saying, "You are the king. I just know that God is the one that's going to give you the answer." Here's a great opportunity for Pharaoh. Should I interpret this dream for you? Joseph knew that when he asked, "You do what's right, the favor of God is on your life." I repeat that. When you do the right thing, the favor of God is on your life. When you do the right thing, the favor of God is on your life. When you do the right thing, the favor of God is on your life. When you do the right thing, the favor of God is on your life. You don't have to go ask favors of anybody, because the favor of God is on your life. because the favor of God is on your life. You don't have to go and loan anything to anybody because the favor of God is on your life. And He's going to open ways. And you can knock on doors and He's going to open the door. You don't need excuses. You don't need to worry because God always has the answer. God always has the answer. You will rejoice because you found an answer in God. I want to believe you're at this house because you found an answer in God. Not a pastor, but in God. When you could not, with your own life, you ran towards God. You knocked on doors and it was God that opened them. You're battling in life. You're fighting, but there's God. You still have situations, but there is God. There are interruptions, but God is there. You're going through things, but now He fights your battles. You know how to fight your battles. The people that always have excuses will never give fruit. Somebody say, ouch. People that have excuses will never find God's favor, because giving excuses, you take yourself with the excuses instead of the hand of God. You take yourself of the excuses instead of grabbing the hand of God, and you forget that God can do it. We have excuses. I can't change. I can't do it. I don't know if I'm going to make it, because we place excuses. Instead of saying, put me wherever you want, there I'm going to be fruitful. You give me a permission. Because in marriages, we can say, you put me in this marriage. How am I going to do it? I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be fruitful in this marriage. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be fruitful. Somebody that doesn't put excuses presents his fruit before God. And even though the circumstances come at the end, you can say, I felt like I was going to asphyxiate and that I was not going to make it. But at the end, He says, it was worth it. At the end, you will say, it was worth it. Joseph did not put his focus on his ability to interpret dreams. That's where we read it, Christian. He didn't put his focus on what God had given him of interpreting dreams. No, in every moment, he made sure that the glory was for God. He would tell them, it's not in me. That's why he said, God will give you the answer. God will give you, that I can give you the answer. Don't go looking for answers anywhere else when you know it's God that gives the answer. He wanted to be sure that Pharaoh would understand that the answer came from God. I close with this. Stand to your feet. He wanted to be sure that that great man, that Pharaoh, that that time, even in the hunger that came over all the land and the countries around Egypt, he wanted to be sure. Joseph wanted to be sure that that man, that great boss and leader, would know that the answer came from God. That the answer came from God. When I read this, there was a confirmation that came to my heart that Joseph tells Pharaoh, after he tells Pharaoh the answer, God will give it to you. I see Joseph, he was ready to be governor. Joseph was ready to possess what God had already given him. Joseph was ready to take what God gave him in the dream, a dream that pursued him, a dream that pushed him, a dream that took him through different processes, but at the end, you can say it was worth it. It was worth it that I was in the pit. It was worth it what that woman did to me, because now I can see that it was the dream that pushed me to possess what God has given me, what God gave me. Now I can see. Maybe you started to give fruit on the way, but you were interrupted many times. Joseph was interrupted many times, but he continued to maintain his composure, his focus, that in all times he had to glorify God, that in all times it was God moving through his life. And I can see that Joseph is ready, because in the middle of the process, if you need to take something home with you, take this. Because the process formed his character and prepared him for what God had for him. If you didn't grab that, you didn't understand it. The process was what formed his character and gave him the strength to possess what God had given him. Look, we always connect everything with the material and blessing. But before you can possess what God has already given you, listen to me. What God is doing in the process is to work on your character. That's why you're still not where you need to be, because God's working on your character. And it has nothing to do with the leadership of this church. It has to be with your relationship with God, your character. I can't tell you what to do and change your character. You have to form your character by the process that God's working in your life. He affirms your life. This is what was happening with Joseph when he was a boy. He had those dreams, but he had to go through all these processes, and the years are going by. In the middle of that process, and in the process, his character is being formed. There are people that run in the situation and don't realize that God's forming your character. Look, you think that God gives him the dream. You think was going to take him immediately to be governor of Egypt. You think God says, now you have the calling. I'm going to put you as a leader of an empire. So, what God is doing in a process is working with your character. The cistern or the pit first. After the pit, the house of Potiphar. 10 years in that house, And then that interruption, now he's a prisoner in jail. Continues God working on his character. And now from here to interpret dreams and before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was the last one. It took him to be governor and head of nations. Through every process, he was changing. It was like the second time I preach, I spoke about how much time is this process going to last? How much time? I don't know all the years it was a process for Joseph, but you want the answer for what you're living? You want the answer? All of this depends on how you become fruitful in the way you're living. How you become fruitful in the situation you're living in. Every one of those interruptions are to form your character, to position you to what God has already called you. And I can be honest with you, this goes in finances, even in the ability to buy a car. Even to buy a car, you have to have character. I'm talking about character, because God's not going to give you anything if you're going to lose it anyway. When I'm speaking of character, it's because you know that God gave it to you. He's the one that's going to provide. You're not just going to go because you got excited and buy a car, but he's going to form character so you can keep what you're given. And the Spirit is going to help you know when you're not ready. Because sometimes you say, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a house. But your character is still not ready. Because many times we have to learn how to minister in the least to come to the great things. I know of people that have two houses here in the church because they were able to administer the first one. And so God said, now I'm going to promote them to a second one. Because character is what helps. God cannot give you something knowing that you're going to ruin it, because that's how the blessing is. It has to do with the material, but it carries you forward. Everything else falls into place when you least expect it. You're not even looking for it. God says, son, I know that you're ready. Daughter, I know that you're ready. Your heart is in the right place. Your character has been formed. You're ready to be blessed. Son, I'm ready to position you. I'm ready to give you this. Son, I'm ready. Not because you deserve it, but your character has been formed. Want things. This is incredible. But there are things that will only come when our heart is in the right place. And you're not going to have to look for them. They're going to come. They're going to come on their own. You're not going to be looking for them. You're not going to be knocking on doors. They're going to come. Sometimes I quit looking for something, and I wanted to buy this and the other, and I forgot maybe for years about something I wanted, and when I least expected it, it came. And then God had to remind me, way back when you wanted this. Yeah, I remember. When that time when you wanted it, I was providing these things. But I wanted to see how you administer the old things to give you the new. And your character is being formed. Close your eyes right where you're at. Open your hands to lift your hands to heaven. Say, thank you, Lord, because every interruption that comes in my process helps me, gets me closer to what you already have given me. Every interruption in this way that I've walked is making me get closer to what you already gave me. I know that the eternal comes from you. I know that all things that have to do with eternity, I have to fight for. I know that everything that I call blessing comes with a fight. But this morning, I know that you're about to lose something heavenly on my life and the life of my family. And I'm not going to finish. But it's simply a process that at the end, I can say it was worth it. Father, we thank you this morning. Look at all those that have lifted their hands in their place in a form of an altar saying, Lord, I am thankful. I'm thanking you even though the miracle has not come yet. Saying, Lord, thank you. Because it was worth it. The process was worth it. Because it's hurting me right now. I'm crying, but I know that at the end, this terrible is going to turn into something glorious. Father, I thank you this morning for the blessing that you give us to this house. Father, I thank you for every son, every daughter. I pray that you give them blessing, take them to their homes safely. And in the middle of everything that the enemy is preparing, that we would maintain ourselves firm and give fruit over all things. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this week of every one of your children, everything they put their hands on, everything that they do, that it would prosper. That it would prosper. That it would prosper. That it would prosper. In the name of Jesus, for you all the honor and all the glory this morning. Amen and amen. You give glory to the one who lives. So we finish the interpretation into English. Come back to listen at another time. God bless you.